Here's the 2-0 to Matuk. And that's drilled deep to left field. Kiss that one goodbye. That one is onto the train tracks. Matuk has given the Rays a 4-3 lead.
Matuk's first home run of the season. Can you believe that? A no-doubter to left field. And a shocker with two outs.
Challenged him with a fastball, Giles did, falling behind in the count 2-0. Now a go-ahead home run in the ninth inning against the Astros. First pitch. And Correa lines this one deep to right field. Going back is Souza at the wall. He leaps, and that's gone! Carlos Correa ties it at 4. Home run number 19 on the year.
Late part of the ball game. You need something big to happen. Look for Carlos Correa to do it.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Here's the ninth pitch to Gattis. And that's it high in the air and deep to left field. You can kiss it goodbye. Onto the train tracks. Back-to-back jacks for the Astros. First Correa and then Gattis. And the Astros win it in the ninth. 5-4.
Mob scene at home plate. Big and bright Friday night.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros hitting coach Dave Hudgens. And an exciting, dramatic win for the Astros yesterday. Down by one in the bottom of the ninth inning. Get the back-to-back home runs from Carlos Correa to tie it. And then Evan Gattis to win it. And really two different plate appearances. Correa's took just one pitch. Gattis took nine pitches against Alex Colome, the Rays closer. And you know, talking about those at-bats with Correa, I mean, first of all, showed off his power to the opposite field, which we've seen this year, and obviously came up there looking for something specific, got it, and was able to do damage.
Yeah, well, Colome likes to get a first-pitch strike on the outer half, so and Carlos knew that. He looked for something elevated, something he could drive. You know, obviously he wasn't trying to hit a homer, he was just trying to get on base. But he's got that kind of power to the opposite field, and he got a ball that was elevated out over the plate, and he did not miss it.
It's impressive when you have a player who goes up there, like you said, wasn't necessarily looking to hit a home run, but not only can hit a home run when he's just looking for something to drive, but hit it out the other way.
Yeah, well, Carlos, he's an impressive player. He, for a young player, you know, he's only, 21, makes tremendous adjustments. He's so well prepared. He's hitting great, you know, the last few months with guys in scoring position. He's got a great approach in that, in those situations. So he's just really mature and he knows what to do in those big situations. He keeps his heartbeat low. He doesn't get too excited, and he's a very confident player.
Meanwhile, Evan Gattis, nine pitches from Colome, a full count, kept fighting off pitches, and then finally got, a neck-high fastball, which is obviously a pitch you're always looking to drive, right?
You know, I've seen him do it before.
Yeah.
You know, we saw him do it in an Oakland game last year, off Clippard. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's done it before. And it was like one of those at-bats where he wasn't going to be denied. You know, he took some close pitches down in the zone. He took a couple pitches that, you know, some guys would swing at sometimes if they're really trying to do some damage, just trying to get the barrel out there. But he was not going to be denied, and it was an unbelievable battle, and you know, you get some neck-high fastball up and in, he hits it up in the train tracks. So that was pretty exciting.
New this year in Major League Baseball, all the coaches with iPads in the dugouts on the benches, and you know, sometimes I'll see when a new pitcher comes in, you'll be there with your iPad showing whoever is on deck, whoever's coming up, video of that pitcher. How much does that help? I mean, obviously guys can go back into the video room and check out footage on guys, but to have that instantaneously like that right when a guy comes in, how much can that help?
You know, and guys look at video before the game,
right?
And they prepare, but a lot of times they won't look at the relievers as much, and it's just a quick glimpse. We've got video on there of the different types of pitches, and then we have information of, you know, what the guy likes to do in certain situations. And obviously, you know, it's not going to be correct every time, but our advanced team, our analytics team, does a great job of preparation and getting that information to us. And the guys do a pretty good job of paying attention. You know, they want to know what a guy likes to do, velocity, movement, and those kind of things. You know, you don't give them anything that's going to clog their mind or get them thinking too much, but they really, you know, they want the information, and then that way they can set a game plan of what they want to do that particular at bat.
Facing Blake Snell today, a left-hander, first time you're seeing him, and a rookie, only a handful of starts under his belt at the big league level. What do you know about Blake Snell?
You know, just from what we looked at, he looks like he's got a good arm. I mean, he's mid-90s, slider changeup. Looks like he's got some stuff. So, you know, we'll see. We'll take more of a look at him as the day goes on, and guys will come in and take a look at him. You know, it's always tough, though, that first time you see a guy sometimes to know exactly how his ball moves or how it comes out of his hand. So they'll look at the video and get prepared that way. But then, you know, we'll take a look when we get out there and see what he's doing.
Dave Hudgens, Astros hitting coach. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Robert. My pleasure.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
On this day in 2008, Royals Walt started the longest scoreless streak in Astros history. He gave up a run in the first against the Reds and then went the rest of the way to win 4-1 at Minute Maid Park. On September 1st, he went 8 1/3 innings in a 3-0 win at Wrigley Field. His next start would likely put an end to the scoreless streak because it was at Coors Field in Denver, but Oswalt was really in a groove, and he pitched another shutout to beat the Rockies 2-0. Back at Minute Maid Park on September 11th, he blanked the Pirates 6-0 to run the streak to 32 1/3 innings. His next start was in Miami, where the magic ended when the Marlins scored 4 runs in the first inning. The scoreless record is one of many held by the Wizard of O.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid. Put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I'm with Pat Neshek, relief pitcher for the Astros. And you guys, Pat, with another big, huge win at Minute Maid Park. Big thrill for the fans, but you guys went nuts. It was fun last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a crazy game there. You know, it started off, we were in charge there, and then they slowly crept back and hit the big home run in the eighth, and man, yeah, I never seen anything like that. 3 big home runs there to end the game there, and it was fun.
Can you divulge any activities in the clubhouse after the game? I mean, it had to be a madhouse in here.
Yeah, everybody was thrown in Gattis, and I think there's a lot of videos on Instagram, and yeah, I've never seen anything like that, but that's a new cool thing to do here. So,
you guys are on a pretty good roll, bullpen doing well again, and it coincides a lot with the pitchers going a little bit deeper. The starting pitching guys are pitching better, and it coincides with you guys in the pen, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, the whole season, you know, you run through rough patches and patches where it seems like every guy's going 8 innings, and we love it down there when maybe we could get a night off or we could pitch to our roles and kind of prepare for when we're supposed to go in. So,
sure.
Yeah, they've been doing great.
Does it feel like this homestand and you don't want to disregard any teams, but you guys know the schedule. You know there's some tough games coming up. Does it feel like you guys need to make some hay in this homestand?
Yeah, it's we're kind of behind right now, and you know, we got to make a run here. And it's funny too, you know, we'll lose 5 right before we played Baltimore last week, and then you know, we won 4 in a row, and real streaky. But it's nice to be right back in the thick of it, and hopefully we could go on a run right now and surprise a lot of people. I think a lot of people gave up on us.
Do you think you guys are streaky because you're younger now? I mean, obviously that average age on this team is just a hair over 27 now. Do you think that just goes along with inexperience?
You know, I think a lot of it is just getting comfortable. A lot of guys came up and they're kind of out of their element, and now they're kind of settling in and having some fun and relaxing and doing what they want to do instead of worrying about, you know, am I going to get sent down? No, we're in September. Nobody's getting sent down. We're ready to play ball. So
tell me about you specifically. I mean, you're a sidearmer, and you throw hard for a sidearmer. When did that come about where you started to pick up velocity as a sidearmer? Because you don't see that many guys throwing 90 miles per hour.
You know, I had that in college, and it was kind of hard at first just to get my control down. As I went on, you know, my delivery is, for me, it's really repeatable. Until I had Tommy John, it was kind of, I was like, what the heck did I do before? But for me, it's really repeatable, and you know, it just hasn't been too much trouble throwing strikes. So yeah, I don't know where the velocity comes from, though.
It's funny to me to watch your slider. I think it's a different slider from anybody else I see. And you and I have talked about it a couple of times. It's kind of an uphill slider. I mean, it's got some uphill action to it. And do you feel like your fingers are underneath the ball pulling up, or what's your trigger point?
In my mind, I kind of want them to start their swing. And when I see that at the plate, I kind of get it to run a little bit more. And usually I get a lot of pop-ups to right field. That's kind of what I'm going for, is weak contact on that. And it's weird. It's been my best pitch this year, though. In years past, it's been my fastball. And this year, I don't know if it was a lot with my foot injury last year, being able to follow through and stuff. But I haven't had any you know, knock on wood, it's been a good pitch that's been running for me, and it saved me a lot of big outs.
Last thing with Pat Neshek. Pat, you're listed as a right-handed thrower, and as a batter, you're listed as a switch hitter. Was that a joke, or were you a switch hitter when you were playing the infield?
Yeah, it's kind of a joke. I could do it, but that was like 17 years ago or something, 16 years ago when I was in high school. So now it wouldn't be pretty if I went up to the plate. I probably would just stand there and take three strikes. So, I could do it if we had to do like a home run derby, but it wouldn't be pretty.
There you go. That's Pat Neshek. You guys just keep it rolling, man. It's a lot of fun to watch, and thanks for catching up.
Thanks, Rocky.
Visit Astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at Astros.com/radio.